News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. So let's do this. Let me just kind of say that whole segment there, we just did literally, I guess if you count my monologue time, we did an hour and a half on the erosion of the VA, the Veterans Administration. And I'll go ahead and repeat something that I said earlier for the benefit of those who weren't tuned in at the time. This is a promise that was made, all right? It's not like you can go, well, you know, the fact that they've got specialized health care for veterans, I mean, it really is a privilege, isn't it? No, it's a right if you get down to it. I mean, it's an earned thing. It's like saying if you serve for the requisite period of time and then you don't get the GI Bill even though you qualified for it to go to school, well, the VA medical provisions are statutory. They are encoded. They are in the law. They were passed by Congress. Therefore, it is the law of the land, and therefore they have to be fulfilled. So when you take the actions that the Biden administration is taking that unnecessarily degrade the healthcare system that is mandated by law to be provided to those who have served this nation, then what you are really doing is basically violating the tenets of the law. You have a fiduciary obligation, you have a statutory obligation, Mr. President, and your mandates didn't go as planned, did they? They've been refuted at every turn, weren't they? And yet, the Biden administration is going to go ahead and continue to run with the farce that a vaccine mandate for all is the way it should be. Blankets, here you go, all of it, across the board. Blanket policies. It doesn't work like that. And you were also advised, weren't you, Mr. President, that, you know, this really wouldn't be able to be upheld in court. You might be able to get away with it with some federal employees, but that by and large, this is not going to be held to be constitutional. And that was true. So maybe he should have listened to the advice of counsel. But, you know, lawyer Phil can tell you this is a bad idea in terms of the liability that will be brought to bear upon the VA system if someone is turned away because they can't get medical care because of the severe staffing shortage that wasn't there the day before, but because they fired a bunch of people because they hadn't had a shot that they haven't needed because they've been working at the bedside for the last 2 years. Then again, military veteran Phil can just tell you, this is a really bad idea, as I've got family members who have participated in the VA system and needed it. You know, my own father passed away in 2013, larger than life. I mean, you never would have known there was an issue, but he had Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam that kept him at something like 40% operational capacity with his liver for all the years thereafter, and he finally succumbed to it in 2013. That being said, the VA healthcare system was a part of what helped take care of that issue. You got people left and right like that. You got the burn pit registry now for those who believe that they were exposed to toxic inhalations near the burn pits overseas. You've got any number of people who that's where they receive their medical care for injuries sustained in war. But then you've also got just the older generation who served admirably, who may not have a physical malady resultant from military service overseas. But by golly, it's a promise made, and when they need a new pair of glasses, when they need a doctor's report, when they need something taken care of for their healthcare medications on like their heart, the VA is supposed to be there for them. And when they have to have a surgery, and the only surgical center for the VA in Alabama is the Birmingham Medical Center, and that one is looking at reducing its staffing significantly to the point that they're already closed one ICU and they're operating short-term everywhere else. The article for 1819 says they're already pulling ICU nurses out of the ICU to work the floors because they don't have enough staff. Meanwhile, right down the street, other hospitals doing fine. You know why? Because the vaccine mandates don't apply to the private hospitals. And guess what? The veterans can't often go to those. This might be their only recourse. And for no good reason, and with no comparison that makes sense, the Biden administration has maintained this vaccine mandate for VA personnel at the risk of our veterans. There you go. All right, folks, we're moving on. Number two in the Triple Dipper, the gun grab is underway. You guys stay tuned. We'll talk about that and your Second Amendment rights. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN Phil Williams Right Side Radio solid conservative just plain right. So we're moving to number two of the Triple Dipper. I will tell you this though, you're going to be interested if we can get to number three in the Triple Dipper, which is going to be too close to call. There are some races in the state of Alabama that are literally divided by one of them's divided by one vote. One for a state legislative race. I'll tell you more about that in a little while. But number two on the Triple Dipper, the gun grab. That's where we are right now, the gun grab. Now, let me just go ahead and say right up front, I know I got some gun owners in the audience that want to call in. This, you're welcome to, 866-494-9866. But I'm going to go ahead and register right up front that what happened in Uvalde, Texas, is we're not insensitive to it at all. It's an awful situation. It's drastic. It is something that has galvanized the nation, really the world. And I mean, it's something that even President Volodymyr Zelensky in Ukraine, in the middle of a war, sent his regrets. And so it's an awful situation. It was a sick situation. You know, the thing is, it's not getting the same type of press that it would. And I'll say this: if this had been a young Caucasian man who did this, I'm pretty sure the narrative would be hate crime, but it wasn't. He was a young Hispanic man and many of his victims were Hispanics. But in the situation we had up in Buffalo, New York, horrible situation, horrible. And that one was indeed what they call a hate crime. That was somebody who had an actual stated position of bias against anyone who was black, and he went there on purpose with that sole intent. But then we also just had, just the other day in North Carolina, I believe it was, and you're not hearing virtually anything about this, where a black man with an AR-15 began shooting up an outdoor party, and yet a woman who was there, who was concealed carry, I guess, took him down. And you're not hearing anything about that reporting. Here's the thing. Bad people will exist, and we can't change that. Bad people will exist, and bad people will do bad things. Awful things. Tragic things. But the Constitution also exists. And so what we have to watch for is the idea that knee-jerk reactions in the wake of tragedy is the best way to make decisions politically? No, it's absolutely not. Absolutely not. Knee-jerk reactions often wind up having second and third order unintended consequences that can have devastating effects later. They create more than just slippery slopes. I mean, right now you're looking at, I mean, I had a friend who was going through a life crisis. He had just thought about whether it's time for him to change jobs. He wasn't sure. He was enjoying it. He was also having some health issues at the time. Then he came to find out that he actually has cancer. And so the decision then was, well, I can't quit my job now. And I pointed out to him at the time, I said, well, you know, the worst time to make a decision like that is when you're in the middle of a crisis. You need to have the opportunity for reflective thought and make sure that where you are is the right place in terms of your decision-making. Get wise counsel. Take a breath. It's going to be all right. Well, the same is true when you come to things like constitutional rights. Folks, I'm just going to tell you. I mean, this is not about whether we should fund Medicaid. This is not about whether we should balance the budget. This is not about whether we, you know, are looking at a situation like, providing foreign aid. No. There are certain things that are considered to be inviolable in the law. When you have a constitutional right, It is far more than just, you need to make a change. We got to do something now. It doesn't work that way. You don't just do something now about something that is embedded in the Constitution of the United States that is considered to be a vested right of your citizenship here in this great nation. Now, right now, the protests are already underway. You know, people are assaulting Ted Cruz while he's out to dinner. People are protesting. Beto O'Rourke is just making his scene when he goes to Governor Greg Abbott's press conference. You got people marching in the streets. I saw one today that says, carrying a sign that says, Ted Cruz sucks. The NRA is evil. They're protesting at the National Rifle Association convention this past weekend. Let me just remind the knuckleheads who are protesting. Your fuss is not with the NRA. Your fuss is not with Ted Cruz. Your fuss is not with Charlton Heston from back when he was the president emeritus of the National Rifle Association. Your fuss is not with any gun manufacturer. In essence, your fuss is only with the Constitution. Because the right of Ted Cruz to have free speech, to address the right to bear arms, is in the Constitution. The right of the National Rifle Association to exist is a matter of freedom of speech, and they can support whomever they want to for office, whether you like it or not. The fact that a gun manufacturer exists as a for-profit entity, manufacturing something which is not at all illegal, in fact, which is protected under the law, does not make them evil in and of themselves. Let's be honest. It is not the car that hits people. It's the driver. It is not the gun that shoots people. It's the person pulling the trigger. Well, Phil, that's why we got to have limited access. We got to make sure people have good training. Who decides that? Who decides that standard? You tell me. I mean, some years back, I had a bill in the Alabama legislature that would have mandated that there could be no additional changes to the requirements for gun permits outside of those that were put in place by the legislature, because we were seeing things on a nationwide basis. Like, how about out in, where was this? Was it Massachusetts? I think it was Massachusetts. There was a local law enforcement official who issued concealed carry permits, but he decided that it was a good idea for people to have to write a brief essay on why they should be allowed to have a permit. So what happens if you're illiterate? You can't get a permit. So your right to bear arms constitutionally is now limited by your educational capacity. How about out in the Pacific Northwest, either Portland or Seattle? I think it was Seattle some years ago, and maybe they still are for all I know, decided, you know what? We can't, apparently we're not allowed to touch guns. Apparently we can't pass laws on guns. That's right. It's called a right. Well, then we're going to tax every bullet. Do what? Yeah. We're going to tax every bullet. And so they started making local laws taxing a nickel per round. A nickel per round. Trying to make it so cost prohibitive that people couldn't buy the bullets. What they were doing, in essence, was they were finding a backdoor way to curtail constitutional rights. Now, I recognize that we're in the throes of the grief, in the throes of the passions related to an awful situation in Texas. And it is a horrible thing that 19 precious young children lost their lives at the hands of a sick individual who could just as easily have driven a Mack truck through the door of their school and done the same type of damage. It could have been just as bad like the person up in Waukesha, Wisconsin, the guy who drove his car through a parade of people that were marching and celebrating and having a great day until that particular moment and killed many of them. It doesn't require a gun to be a sick individual to hurt other people. But for some reason, no one wants to talk about the rest. I mean, I look at it right now and I'm thinking, okay, President Biden talked big about facing down old Corn Pop. Corn Pop was a mean dude. Corn Pop's a mean dude, carried a chain. I don't see any restrictions on chains. Apparently that was a weapon. It's a good thing the president was a tough guy back then, able to face down old Corn Pop with his chain, but there's no statutory restrictions now on chains. Oh, Phil, now you're being silly. No, I'm not. Because we could just as easily say that people have been killed with knives, therefore we should have restrictions on knives. We could just as easily say that there have been any number of people who have been, you know, killed with a rope, therefore we should have a ban on ropes. When you start getting into knee-jerk legislation, you run the risk of curtailing civil liberties and having second and third order unintended consequences. And the moment you give in and say, okay, we'll just, you know what? It's because of this horrible situation. Let's just go ahead and give away part of our constitutional privileges on this one. Then the next time they need another one of your constitutional rights, all they have to do is go, well, you did it once. You're going to give in again. And I disagree with that altogether. Now, I will give props to President Biden on something. He went to see the people of Uvalde, Texas. And that was what he should do. That's what any president should have done. And it was right that he did that. Of course, he politicized it, but he went. And I'm glad that he did. And one of the things that he said, according to thehill.com, is that he told local officials, and by the way, if he told them this, he better keep his word. But he told them he's going to tear down that school and build them a new one. And I get that, because what a horrible thing for those kids to have to come back to. And no one wants that classroom now. Nobody wants that room where 19 children and two teachers lost their lives in one room. So I hope he does do that. And I'll give him props for that. But then he turned right around and made bizarre comments about how 9mm pistols are considered to be a high caliber weapon because they can blow the lung out of a person. Who is this guy? Has anybody ever instructed him once on firearms? I got news that the 380 subcompact that I got my wife with hollow points, it can do the same thing. You can go 22 long rifle and see what that does. You can pick up any number of weapons, and depending upon how you use them, how you fire them, and where they hit, will have amazing amount ability to do damage. The question is not what you're using, it's who uses it and why. All right. There's the intro. There's the intro to number two on the Triple Dipper. Gun grab. Listen, when I get back from this break, I'm going to curl your hair with some stuff. Things that they're already saying. And did you hear, by the way, what Canada is doing? Good gosh. Somebody has got to take Justin Trudeau to the woodshed. Man, somebody please beat him politically. Why is he oh, my gosh. Come on, Canada. All right, folks. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So here's what's interesting, and here's what I love, is when I almost feel like my show is more timely than ever. So I'm sitting here, number two on the Triple Dipper. I named it early this morning. I called it out to you when the show started. Number two on the Triple Dipper, where it's called Gun Grab. And right now on Fox News, there's a headline up. And the title of it is Gun Grab. It goes on to say, Beto O'Rourke. The story was just posted, by the way, in the last hour. Right at the last hour. Beto O'Rourke says AR-15 owners shouldn't be able to keep them. Okay. Beto. Good luck with that. But Beto O'Rourke is saying that AR-15 owners shouldn't be able to keep them. He goes on to say on the campaign trail, they have no place in civilian life. He said, I think we're fools to believe anything other than these weapons of war will continue to be used with greater frequency against our fellow Americans. On what basis does he say that? Because the facts belie that is not the case. And he goes on to say that he is open to confiscation. Yeah. So earlier in the day, during a town hall with veterans in San Angelo, O'Rourke suggested he's open to confiscation of existing semi-automatic rifles. He went on to say, I may win or lose this race. Well, you may win or lose this race. Yes, Beto, that's the way it works. You win or lose a race. He's running for governor of Texas. He says, but I'm always going to have to face them, his kids, and answer for what I've done or failed to do when I had the chance. He says, I took the position that may not be politically popular, that only you should only be able to, where'd it go? Maybe too honest, that only should no one, I don't know what he's saying. He can't keep track of his words. Anyway, he doesn't like semi-automatic weapons. because once again, he's a bleeding heart liberal who doesn't understand weapons. He doesn't understand firearms. He doesn't know what they are. He doesn't know how they work. You know, and then you get into things like, well, high-capacity magazines, why do you need 30 rounds? Well, okay, then limit it to those little 20-round magazines for my AR. Do you know how fast I can change a 20-round magazine with a modicum of training? I've got significant amount of training on this. I can change out that mag in a matter of seconds. So, does that put me at 10 less? Yes. Puts me at 10 less at a disadvantage because I'm the law-abiding citizen who may use that to defend my household. But that doesn't matter. Anyway, so President Biden, here's a storyline, New York Post, dated yesterday. President Biden goes on anti-gun tirade, suggests there's no rational basis for 9mm pistols. Okay. According to Shooting Industry Magazine, 9mm pistols accounted for 56.8% of all handguns made in the U.S. in 2019. So my Glock 19 is now on the hit list, apparently. In all, more than 15.1 million 9mm guns were produced in this country during the 2010s. And then he goes on to say, this is a quote from the president. You ready? Remember, the Constitution, the Second Amendment, was never absolute. Wow. Well, there's one of those times when the outside words should have been kept on the inside. But he goes on to say, you couldn't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed. You couldn't go out and purchase a lot of weapons. Well, they didn't exist, sir. But had AR-15s existed at the time, I'm sure that the revolutionary troops would have loved to have used them, and I'm sure people would have loved to have had them in their households, and I'm sure that they would have not been a part of any ban. It's not like someone is trying, and by the way, cannons, why is cannon even talked about? No one's buying cannons. And there is the National Firearms Act. There are restrictions on automatic weapons, which, by the way, all of these so-called weapons of war, listen, when I was downrange, there's a three-round burst capability on my M4. So what are we talking about? Because I don't have that on the one I have at home. I've got a pretty nice modified Rock River Arms, chambered at 5.56, 1-9 twist ratio, you know, chrome-aligned barrel. I enjoy it. I got a modified trigger on it. I'm set up good. I like it. It's a sport shooting opportunity for me. All that to say, folks, people who don't have any idea about firearms should not give public speeches about changing the law on firearms. Go get somebody to at least advise you, Mr. President, so you don't sound like a knucklehead when you start saying that 9mm pistols are a high caliber. I heard a doctor tell me a .22 caliber, it would just lodge in the lungs. It wouldn't destroy it like the 9mm does. Okay, somebody help that man. Please. More on this when we get back. I got an audio clip of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Oh my gosh, if you haven't seen it, it's like the model for what liberals want to do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.